Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody. Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like the dapper dawn. Giving a microphone, dress, dress like a million bucks, buying things in its cuffs. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, everybody out there listening to me. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey. Put your hands together. Oh, 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 oh,
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only, Steve Harvey. Got a radio show. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Grateful for it. Comes with a huge amount of responsibility. I didn't really know I was going to have to be this responsible. You know, can I share something with y'all? I started out to finally I had gotten on track and was able to see a way to even pursue my dream. It has been a long trip that I've been on, and I've gone through so many phases of it. It is rewarding along the way to accomplish your dreams. What I'm saying is this. Let me put it together, because I got so much running through my head right now. You know, it's one thing to accomplish your dreams, but there's joy in the process of achieving it. See, some people are so caught up in the goal, the final goal, that they find no joy, no enjoyment in the process. If you have found what it is you want to do and you strike out on that journey, please understand, you are far more blessed than the average person. Do you understand that? To know what it is you really want to do, to find your work in life, your purpose, to find out what direction you want to go in, is such a blessing. The average person, if you sit down and talk to them, oftentimes don't have their life on track. And it'd be some people that you look at that you think got it going on because of their appearance, their swagger. Oh, they walk like it. They talk like it. They look like it. But if you sit down and talk to the average person, man, does not know what their purpose is, has not discovered what they want to do, and have no idea how to get there. If you are on the other side of that, if you understand your purpose, if you have an idea of what you want to be, and you are on your way there, you are truly blessed. And in that blessing, you must recognize it as a blessing. You must recognize the fact that you are on the right side, and that there should be a sense of accomplishment and a feeling of pride in you that you are on track to accomplish your goal. See, what used to happen was sometimes I used to keep my nose so on the grindstone that I wouldn't even look up and realize, man, hey, man, I know you're trying to get here, but Steve, hold on, man. Can't you see what you've done so far? Can't you find just some joy in the process? See, a lot of us lose the joy of the blessings God has given us because we looking at the end, talking about, I ain't there yet. You on your way. I'm going to give you an example. I had a friend who told me that they wanted to be a millionaire. And they asked me some questions. And I told them. So they started the process. And I am telling you, this dude works extremely hard. So about a year later, we were talking. He had found this business. He had set his goal, and he was working towards it. Then about 2 years later, I ran up into him again. We were talking about it and everything. He said, man, really, really appreciate the advice. He said, man, but this is all jacked up, man, because I still ain't made that million I was talking about. I said, well, hey, man, just keep at it. It's coming. He said, man, keep at it. Man, you know how long I've been doing this? And I got quiet because, yeah, I know exactly how long you've been doing. It's been 2 years now. And I didn't say that to him, but I said to myself, yeah, 2 years. He said, man, I've been grinding so long, man, it ain't happening for me. I said, wait a minute, man. Hold on. I said, about how much you making right now a year? Man, about $250,000. I quit breathing. I said, well, my man, 2 years ago, you didn't have a clue. 2 years later, you making $250,000? I said, man, do you understand how blessed you are? I said, man, your family was about to get put out 2 years ago. You done bought a house? Yeah, man, but this ain't the house I really want. Whoa, partner. Whoa, I got that. The house you really want might cost $5-8 million. I don't know. But, man, y'all got a house. You making the payments. You driving. You ain't out no more. I said, hold on, man, you got to stop. I said, man, because right now, man, you coming across as real ungrateful to me. So I know God, who has done all this for you, got to be looking at you with his arms folded. But then he God, so he probably handling it all together different. I was just speculating with him. And so he said, man, why you tripping like that, man? Man, you act like don't nobody want to have nothing but you. I said, whoa, man, where you going with this conversation? I said, oh, I didn't come to you. I just came to you and asked you how you doing. And I'm trying to point out to you that the journey that you started on, that you are on your way and you are in the process of accomplishing your goals. And can you not feel some joy and some pleasure in your accomplishment? Quit tripping on the fact that you ain't made the million yet. You on your way. You done went from, he thought this dude was making $15,000 a year. You making $250,000 in 2 years, man. Come on, man. Can't you see? Can't you see? So he said eventually, ah, man, I kind of see what you're saying, but that ain't about nothing to me because I ran up into him a year and a half later. How you doing, man? Man, I sure wish I'd appreciated my life when I had it like that. I said, what you mean had it like that? Man, I just fell on some hard times, man. I'm right back where I was. And then we talked. I said, hey, man, don't worry about it. I said, once you know how to accomplish something, I said, you just reapply the same principles and start on over again. Man, you know how hard it is to be to start over? Okay, my man, hold up, partner. You finna do yourself like this again? First, you wasn't grateful for what you had. Now you're looking at the fact that you might have to start over, and you know how hard it is to start over. But you have the knowledge, the principles, and you got a little bit of money to go on and get it going again. I said, man, don't keep doing this to yourself. I said, man, you ain't grateful no matter what God do for you. So what you need to do, partner, stop, reassess yourself. The fact that you were not grateful in the first place, could that be the reason where, you know, man, maybe, I'm not calling it because I ain't God. I do not know how he think, nor do I claim to know. But let's just imagine for a moment. Let's just say maybe for a moment, maybe God said, okay, you ain't happy with this? Okay, then handle it your way. You obviously ain't happy with the way I'm bringing it into your life. You want to handle it your way, go ahead and handle it. Because he will let you have it your way. Can I tell you that? He will let you do it exactly the way you want to it because he gives us all the power of choice. So then maybe he said, okay, you don't appreciate the way I'm doing it. You don't like the favor I'm showing you. You think it's taking too long. I'm going to let you do it your way. I'm not going to turn my back on you. I'm just going to let you do it your way. just say maybe he said that, and now he right back where he was. So what I tried to get the young cat to understand was, man, appreciate your life for what it is. Because like Life Jennings got that song that he got out off this album, I Still Believe, it could have been worse. And now that it is worse, what's on your mind now? Folks, if you are on that side of life where you have figured out what you want to do, you know how you're going to get there, and you know your purpose, you're accomplishing what the majority of people never, ever do. So be grateful for your process. Don't tumble yourself. Don't throw yourself off the cliff. It's going to be all right. Success takes a measure of time. It is not easy. If success were easy, everybody would be successful. All right, y'all. I'm sorry this morning if I sounded a little all over the place and a little jumbled, but that's how it came to me. So, you know, y'all keep your head up.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people from all around the world, listen to me. You are listening to the Bad and Morning Show. What kind of team is it, Jay?
Championship team,
you
baby.
Better know it, man. Woo! This is radio live, vivid, and in color. All day, every day.
Technicolor.
Today's Technicolor? Show is dedicated to unhappy people.
Oh, that's a good
doggone
one,
it,
Steve.
Listen to this show, Calvin? And uh-oh. Get yourself some. Unhappy people. John Moore.
Yeah. We're naming names.
The dude I grew up with, John Moore, better known as Onion. This show is dedicated for your miserable ass.
Unhappy. Stayed unhappy.
And you called him Onion because what?
Always something wrong, man.
Kelvin Sanders. What's happening, boy?
Tommy, who you got always unhappy?
Larry Rockamore.
Unhappy ass Larry. Jay, who you know?
Some of my ex-wives, you know who you are. Talk amongst yourselves. Pick one out.
Pick one.
Pick. Yeah. I don't want to call nobody name, but one of them was really unhappy.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Talk amongst yourselves.
It don't really matter which one.
No, it don't matter to me.
They're just going to be talking about you.
Carla, you know somebody unhappy?
Yes, I do. But why, they're listening, so I can't get specific.
Go ahead. Who is it?
Well, paint a picture, Carla. Yeah.
My ex.
Oh, I know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Tommy and Junior know my ex just miserable.
We own in Houston now.
You all know him. You know him too, huh?
Let's not speak
if
of him again.
I knew
again.
His name would be saying. That's how I know I don't know him.
Because you call his name.
Well, if you don't think I shoot it out, boy, right now, that arrow be on the way. That arrow would be in the eye on his way to Houston.
Just
at some damn radio station.
Unhappy.
I know that. I just don't know a name, but the moment I can connect a name, his ass fitting to get it. Messing with my girl, Carla. I protect her. Joe Punk ass.
Carla, Shirley. Carla handled it, though, Steve. She keyed that car
Shirley
with the gas.
Shirley,
sugar in that
who
tank,
you like to dedicate
do
this show to?
Do we have to name names?
Shirley, don't get
John Moe.
Kelvin Sanders.
Tommy.
My baby mama.
Oh. You starting to go off track. You said Larry Rockamore. Just stay
right there.
Don't let Jay suck you in this track.
Who else?
I tell you who I think is
former
unhappy.
Boss.
Oh yeah. Who's that on?
This show is dedicated to the TJMS.
Oh, that's cold,
Steve. You
Steve.
Can't do that, man.
No.
What did you do?
See, man.
I like
come
that.
On, huh?
See. I like that.
See what, Jay? See? Yeah. He just goes there, doesn't he?
Man.
Oh, my goodness.
So much shade.
Jay gone.
I can't believe you said that.
Yes, you can.
Oh. That's bad.
All right, listen, we got to get out of here.
Shirley,
coming up next.
You avoided the question.
I did.
Go ahead.
Coming up next, something funny. And we're going to ask the CEO, or the CEO is going to tell us when we come back at 32
oh,
after
okay,
the hour.
Cool.
All right, you ready,
CEO? We missed
CEO?
Boss's day. We did.
We did.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we go with something funny. Steve, you want our listeners to know that your staff acts just like the folks at their job. at their job, I should say. And you know what? We missed Boss's Day.
We apologize.
Yeah, we're sorry.
We're sorry.
Happy belated Boss's Day.
Yeah, happy belated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the best CEO ever.
Yeah, you are.
The best. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nobody better.
Nope. Nobody better. Nope. Anybody think about being better, they can't do it.
Forget about it.
As my mom used to say, what? Seriously?
She blew her lips.
For real?
And we just really sorry.
We're in a good place.
How can we forget Boss's
Day, guys? We forgot Boss's
Day. I did not.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
Was we supposed to buy him something?
Well, I mean, just acknowledging. Just acknowledging.
At least say something. I mean, come on.
Happy Boss Day.
Happy Boss Day.
Yeah.
But you didn't mean that, Tommy.
Yeah, that wasn't from the heart. That wasn't from the heart.
What do you want from
like a throwaway. Hey, you got nothing to say to us? You going to say something, man?
Why are you so quiet? Yeah.
Let us begin.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Here
no,
we go.
Ain't no welcome because you forgot Boss's Day. But I tell you what, you know, there's a lot of people mm-hmm. and listen to this radio show mm-hmm. every day.
Right.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. somehow they think it's a different working environment than theirs.
Yes.
Mm. You know, they just think, oh, y'all having so much fun over there.
They do think
well,
that.
But let me tell you.
What?
As the CEO, I can tell you for a fact that this radio show is very much like the place you work at every day.
They don't know it, though, huh?
They don't
know. I'm going to go down some facts.
Okay.
I'm going to show you how this radio show is just like where you work. Y'all ready?
We're
ready.
I'm going into the CEO voice.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Now, just like your job. Just like your job. We got someone here on this radio show who thinks they smarter than the boss.
Oh, man.
Now, down at your job, they don't say who it is. But on this here job, I do. And we have several people who think they smarter than the boss on this job.
Right here.
First of all, Mississippi Monica think her ass is smarter than everybody in here because she got these two damn degrees. That's for starters.
You calling names, huh?
I'm calling names because they don't do that on your job. But I'm blasting. She thinks she's smarter than everybody down here.
Oh, Lord.
Now, just like your job,
uh-huh.
we got someone who thinks they do all the work. And everybody else just sitting on their butt. Don't nobody work like me. I'm the hardest worker in here.
Who is that?
I can't do all this.
Who is that? Who
y'all
is that?
Putting pressure on me. That's Carl.
That's
Carl for real.
Yeah.
You ain't finna outwork her ass. And every time you ask her something, you finna hear how hard it is.
That's it.
Y'all just get your ass ready.
Losers. Oh, man.
Yeah, this is CEO. Y'all want me to do the bit? Here it goes. And just like on your job,
oh,
we got somebody here who thinks they too good to be here.
Ooh.
I'm so good, I should be somewhere else.
Ooh.
I don't know why I deal with y'all. You, Riley, we all know who that is.
With
her bougie. Yeah. That's sure. Yeah, that's her. Now, let's just go and keep on before she get mad. Just like on your job,
mm-hmm.
we got somebody here just happy as hell. I don't care what happened, they just happy. Now, I'm not going to say who it is,
yes,
but damn it, it's Junior.
Yes,
Junior just happy to be here. He don't give a damn. What you want to do, Unc?
I'm your man. Let's go, Unc.
Oh, man.
But just like somebody on your job, we got somebody work here that just by talking to him, you think they come from raw.
Oh, no.
You know, a sense of entitlement.
Yeah.
Think they way more than they really are. Y'all got somebody like that on your job?
Damn job got
yeah,
one.
Well, we got his ass here, too.
Yeah. Come on.
His name is Tommy. Or Nephew Tommy. Or
comma's mine.
Depends on which day of Raw he come in here with. Just like on your job.
Oh, man.
We got somebody here that hate every day. Just hate. I ain't gonna say the only thing he like is white women. Need I say more?
No,
he just got him on the show, J. Anthony Brown.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, and just like your job, they all talk about the boss behind their back.
Not us. Not him.
No, we would never do that.
Yeah, I'm not going to say who it is, but the biggest ones that talk about me behind my back is the Three Musketeers.
Uh-oh.
That's Shirley, Tommy, and Carl. Oh, they go to dinner together. Oh, they be on trips sitting next to each other.
Can you believe he
did
that?
That's why Coach Tommy get the middle seat. They don't even ask for extra leg room because Tommy in the middle.
The money's rich.
Oh,
we
they
don't
just
care.
Talk about my ass like a dog.
Like a
why? Because Tommy buying them food. All the food and drinks on Tommy. Yeah, and that's how our job worked down here.
Just like your job.
Just like your job.
Oh, good job, CEO. Good
man.
Job.
Mr. Thomas.
Happy Boss's Day.
Oh, that was great.
Happy Boss Day, man.
Or nephew Tommy. Or Tommy.
Oh, my God.
Depends.
Depends on
Boston
it.
Released it all.
Oh, Mississippi Monica sure didn't think she was going to get listed. But her little smart ass, that little genius sitting over there.
All right, coming up like next. You. I know, right? Nephew Tommy is in the building with Run That Prank Back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up next at the top of the hour, Miss Ann will be here with today's headlines and national news. But come on, nephew, it is time to Run That Prank Back.
Doctor's visit is what it is, Shirley. Doctor's visit. Get on in there and get checked out. Doctor's visit.
Hello?
Hello, I'm trying to reach a Roderick Belton, please.
He's not here. May I take a message?
My name is Mark, ma'am. I'm calling from the clinic from Dr. Robert Goodson's
office. Turn that music down. Hold on, I'm sorry. Say that again.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I'm
okay,
sorry.
I'm trying to reach Roderick.
He's not here.
Okay, I'm calling from the clinic from Dr. Robert Goodson's office, and I'm trying to get some information to him. When do you know when he'll actually be in?
No, actually, I don't. Is everything okay?
Well, you know, everything's fine. I mean, nothing that can't be handled. We're trying to actually get some information to him so that he can actually come back in for the results.
Okay. Well, I don't know when I can. He's supposed to be here now. I'm not sure when I can tell you he's going to be back.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't ask you earlier, ma'am. Who am I actually speaking with?
This is his girlfriend.
And your name is?
Jan.
Jan. Okay. So, Jan, you don't have an idea when he'll be back.
No. You're starting to make me kind of get a little concerned, though.
No. Wow. Okay. I tell you what, this is the number that he actually left us to give him a call on his results, and we're not getting an answer. I don't have another number on hand. Do you have a specific time I can actually call back and maybe I'll get him?
You're making my stomach is getting nervous right now. What is the problem?
Well, actually, you know, what it is, ma'am, is Mr. Roger came in to take a few tests, and he took some tests, and we actually have the results in, and we'd actually really like for him to come back.
I don't know anything about. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I don't know anything about any tests. He hasn't told me anything about going to a clinic or anything like that.
I see.
So what kind of tests are you talking about?
Well, I mean, ma'am, I'm really not at liberty to give you any kind of information unless you're actually on the paperwork. So, you know, it's not even something that I can discuss unless the patient has signed off that you are the next of kin or the person that we can actually give the information to. You do understand
pretty,
that, don't you?
I do, and I'm pretty certain. I mean, the way we operate in this household, I'm pretty certain that I'm on the paperwork. So would you please go check?
Let me pull up Roderick's stuff on computer here, and I'll see what I – give me 1 second, please.
Sure.
Okay. Let's see. Now, let me scroll down for next of kin. Okay, I got a Janice.
That is me. I mean, everybody calls me Jan, but that's me, Janice.
Wow. Okay, Miss.
Tell me your name again. I'm sorry. What's your name again?
Mark. Mark. Like I said, I'm the clerk here at Dr. Robert office. And I guess I am at liberty to tell you what's going on.
Please do.
Mr. Roger came in and took some STD tests.
STD?
Yes. And I guess at this point I should just, maybe both of you guys should come in. And
wait
so
a minute.
We can
wait a minute.
Both
what
and everybody,
you,
and everybody
wait
will
a minute,
be
wait
fine.
No. No. I need you to finish what you were just saying.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying, man. What has happened is he's been diagnosed with as well as
you got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me.
Okay, I'm
not hearing this.
Ms.
I am not.
Hang on a second.
That means, do you understand what that means? Do you understand that he lives in my household? Do you understand that means that he has been dipping somewhere else? Because I have been not doing anything that would even come close to bringing something to him like that. So it's apparent that this man has been outside of my household and doing what he has no business doing and bringing it back in.
I'm not at liberty to make any accusations like that. I cannot say anything like that. All I can say is I'd like for both of you, you know, it'd be good for both of you guys to come in and get treated.
Let me tell you.
This is something treatable. It is curable.
I don't care about it being treatable or curable. What I care about is the fact that he apparently has been somewhere with some trick and brought something back home to my household. That's what I care about.
And I do understand that, Ms. Janice. I do. But you have to understand my position and what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying reaching out and.
Well, listen. You happen to call my household. You just have to be on the end. You're on the other side of it. I'm sorry you're getting most of it. But I tell you what. What you need to do is you need to make him an appointment, and I will meet him there. He will be
wait, when he sees my face. Wait a minute. I'm sorry.
You need to make him an appointment to come out to take a look at these results you're talking about. And guess who will show up at the door before he gets there? Me.
I think it would be, since you're the Mexican, wouldn't it be better for you just to tell him what's going on since I've explained it to you?
No, this is the plan. You need to give him a call. I'm going to give you a cell phone number.
Yes, ma'am. I have a pen. Okay. I got it. Okay.
You call him and set a 12 noon appointment. Trust me when I tell you, when he walks through that door and sees my face, he will know.
Okay, but Ms. Janice, I'm not trying to create chaos in our clinic. That's not the purpose of the call.
That's all I want to talk about.
The call is to let Mr. Roger know that we need him to come actually into the building.
I could give two about a call. All I know is you make that appointment, I will get there before he gets there, and it's on. I'm telling you, that's how it's going to roll. Do you understand me?
Hey, Ms. Janice, I can't allow any chaos to be going on in the building. I cannot allow that.
Let me tell you something. I could care less about what you feel about it and what you can and can't do. I'm not interested.
Ms.
I'm telling you is you called my household.
I'm looking for Mr. Roger.
You called his soon-to-be wife. Correction, soon to not be wife.
Okay. I got one more thing I do need to tell you, though, Ms. Janice.
You know what? I can't deal with another thing. I swear to God, don't tell me anything else.
But I do have a one piece of information I need you to make
the appointment. That's all I care about. You make the appointment.
I will make the appointment, but I need you to ask for somebody when you come to the clinic. I need you to ask for one person, and then they will take care of you.
Who do I need to ask for?
Okay, you need to ask for Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show, because that's who I am. You just got pranked by your husband, Roger.
You know what? Oh, my. Tommy, I listen to you every morning. I said, no. Oh, my goodness. I am so embarrassed. And wait till I see Roger. Tommy.
Are you all right?
Oh, my gosh. I am extreme. I am over. I'm done. I'm done. I can't believe you did that to me.
Hey, I got one more thing I got to ask.
Okay.
What is the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
The one I wake up to every morning, the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
What y'all think? Somebody give me some feedback.
I think you ignorant. That's what I think.
Okay. Well, but see that. But I want that though.
You got it, sir. You definitely got it.
All right. Stupid and ignorant at the same time.
You gotta have
it's going down tonight. Memphis, Tennessee, Mama's Boy is in the building. Make sure you get your tickets. Tonight we got a show at 8 o'clock, and we got two shows tomorrow night, 3 o'clock and 8 o'clock, Memphis, Tennessee. come see your boy, and Johnny Gill, and Robin
Gill. You know, hey, Tommy, all them. Tommy.
Yeah.
Hey, man, how's Robin doing?
Robin's doing great, Jim. You ask every
Why don't you get Robin to call him? Man. That would make his day.
That really would, Tommy.
You want to talk to Robin? Call no damn body. What are y'all talking about?
Robin ain't talking.
What? You ain't heard nothing about him and Robin talking. The hell you think you're going to get Robin to call you?
You're right, Uncle.
He ain't got it like that with Robin.
Oh, my God. You ain't heard nothing about him and Robin talking.
Now, see, it ain't like him, Shirley, and Carl.
Yeah.
Oh, no. He ain't at lunch with Shirley Murdoch and Robin Givens and Jack Hay. They see his little ass at rehearsal, and that's it.
Miss Ann is coming up next with today's national news.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
President Trump denies offending fallen soldiers' families. I'm sure you guys have heard about this. It's been all over the news. The White House says President Trump was completely respectful in a phone call to one of the grieving military widows. According to the Washington Post, one of the fallen soldiers, Sergeant LaDavid Johnson's mother, said yes, President Trump did disrespect her son during that call. Kawanda Jones Johnson went on to say that President Trump sarcastically told her son's widow that he must have known what he signed up for, not to mention that the president never even referred to her son by name, and that is something that reportedly stuck out to his widow, Myesha. She was crying the whole time, Jones Johnson recounts, and when she hung up the phone, she looked at me and said, he didn't even remember his name. That's the hurting part. Of course, Trump has denied it, and he said he has proof. And we on this show just want to say to all of the fallen soldiers, offer our condolences to all of the Gold Star families for your loved one's service, for their bravery and for their courage. Thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you.
And definitely our sympathies and condolences to the families and the children. I mean, and we still don't know what happened over there in Niger.
And the president, you know, he's under scrutiny because he started this, politicizing the death of these fallen soldiers. Mm-hmm. He started it by talking about
President Obama and his predecessors.
Right, and his predecessors. And now he's upset that he's under scrutiny.
Always put Obama's name in something.
Yes.
He just hates Obama.
Well, he has a misunderstanding about a principle of success. He thinks that by making him appear less, it appears to make him to be more. And that never works out for you in the long run. But in The Art of a Deal, see, when you read his book, The Art of a Deal, that's one of the tactics that they use. You have to, in some way, show your superiority to competitive companies and things like that. Well, he's taken that into the presidency.
Wow.
And so that's why he still talks about crooked Hillary, what Hillary did, the mistakes she made, what Obama did, what the mistakes he made, because it's to say, even when he makes a mistake, you should be okay with this because look what they did, which no one gives a damn about that, man, because you're the president now.
Right.
And it's time for you to build your own legacy. And destroying other people's legacies while you're not building a legacy is nothing. See, you want to destroy, repeal, and replace Obamacare, but you want to do it by starting to killing subsidies to low-income people?
That will help people, right?
Are you kidding me? So you start there?
He's not a leader. He's just not a leader. He's not a leader.
Well, he's not the great leader that we're used to having and want to have because he's never been a great servant. People who have never served don't make good leaders. Sorry.
Has anybody ever quit? Shouldn't he just quit?
Nixon resigned.
I predict that he will not finish this term.
You think he's going to resign? I don't think he's a quitter.
No, I don't.
He's going to be made to quit.
One thing he is, we know, is a fighter. He is a scrapper. We do know that. That's why I don't think he's going to quit.
No. But he's not fighting. He's picking on people. That's the difference.
Bullying.
Yeah. Through Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every morning.
Tweeting and eating.
up. You notice
boy,
what?
That butt is getting wide.
And those
walking
ties,
away. I thought that
those
was
ties are getting longer and longer.
That butt is getting wide.
All right, Steve. We got to move it on over to Miss Ann now.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's here without further ado, the lovely and talented, our very own news anchor, Miss Ann Tripp.
Steve, good morning, everybody. This is Ann Tripp with the news. Well, White House Chief of Staff John Kelly's defending President Trump and how he handled that condolence call to the widow of an Army sergeant. Kelly is a retired Marine general whose own son was killed in Afghanistan. He says he was stunned and brokenhearted by Florida Congresswoman Frederica Wilson's criticism of the words that Trump used. He says he feels all the talk about it, though, should end.
Let's not let this maybe last thing that's held sacred in our society, a young man, young woman going out and giving his or her life for our country. Let's try to somehow keep that sacred.
The president has also been criticized over his administration's handling of the situation in Puerto Rico. However, Mr. Trump met with Puerto Rican Governor Roberto Rosselló at the White House yesterday, and as expected, he graded his own performance by saying basically it couldn't have been any better.
I'd say it was a 10. I'd say it was probably the most difficult when you talk about relief, when you talk about search, when you talk about all of the different levels.
However, things don't look so perfect as a perfect 10 on the island. For instance, it's been 4 weeks since Hurricane Maria struck. Only 22% of Puerto Rico's residents have electricity. Almost 30% have no access to drinkable water. And the death toll is now 48. By the way, it looks like President Trump won't leave the issue of the NFL players taking a knee alone. Now he and Vice President Pence are actually circulating a petition on the internet that demands that all players and fans stand for the national anthem. According to the GOP website, the petition asks for signatures, names, emails, and zip codes. There was tight security on the campus of Florida State University yesterday because of the speaking engagement there of a white supremacist named Richard Spencer. And there was no major violence, even though his supporters were outnumbered 10 to 1 by his protesters saying, Spencer, go home.
We are stronger than you, and you all know it. That's why you're ganging up here like some kind of mob.
That's how he was talking to the crowd. Hundreds of other anti-racist demonstrators wait outside the hall where there are a few minor skirmishes. The winds have died down a bit in California. Firefighters say that's helped them make progress in bringing those wildfires under control. The blazes have been burning for over a week. At least 41 deaths are reported so far. One death of a worker, a driver delivering water when his truck overturned. And today, finally, is National Suspenders Day and National Just Say No Day.
No, no, no!
Okay,
no,
I get
no,
it.
No, 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 no,
I get
no,
it. I get it. I get it. Eugene the Butterfly, 20 minutes after the hour. Stay tuned to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, please introduce Jay so Jay can introduce our beloved butterfly.
I don't need him. Whoa! Do you know the butterfly? Because I do. Sing, Steve.
Do you know the butterfly? Cause I do.
Sing, Steve.
Do you know the butterfly?
Cause I do. Sing, Steve.
Do you know the butterfly? Cause I do.
Very good. Thank you so much. Good morning, Stephen, Tommy, Shirley, Carla, Jr., Anthony
Last
Brown. Good morning
time.
To all of you.
Do you know the butterfly? Cause I do. Sing it, ladies.
Do you know the butterfly? Cause I do. It's the only time they ever asked me to sing.
I was ready to.
No. Okay. We won't do that no more. Yeah.
What you trying to say?
Yeah, yeah.
Call
okay,
it.
Let's
are we good?
Over. Okay. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're
it's
welcome,
a bit buddy. Much sometimes. Listen, today is Friday. You know, I'm calling this pumpkin pie Friday. And all my friends are coming over and we're doing pumpkin pies. I'm gonna invite each and every one of you all to come over and do pumpkin pies along with
pumpkin
me.
Pie? Why, black people don't do don't pumpkin wanna... pie. I'm sorry. It just ain't a requirement.
It's only about two black people that eat pumpkin pie.
I've making, never seen
are you making pumpkin pie or pumpkin pie?
What's...
Which one?
Which one you make? What is it again?
Pumpkin. Are you making the pumpkin pie or you make pumpkin pie? Because there is a difference.
I'm making pumpkin pie. Pumpkin pie.
Black people don't really like pumpkin.
We like sweet potato.
Sweet potato. Yeah, we on that sweet potato butterfly.
Well, you guys have been on that for a long time, but it's Halloween time of this of the year.
Just tell them it's pumpkin pie, but make sweet potato.
They're the same color. Yeah.
Right.
But the cousin you gonna get when they bite into it.
We know the difference though when we do.
Oh yeah.
What the hell?
We know the difference.
I asked you all to come over and do pumpkin pie with me. Now who's all coming?
Nobody.
I'm not.
Shirley and Carla.
Okay.
No, what time? What time? Later on today?
7 o'clock today.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'll come.
Oh, I can't do it. Tasha got practice.
Told you. You didn't hear the CEO report.
I'll come, but I'll bring my own dessert.
Bring sweet potato.
So much for a pumpkin pie party.
I got to get hit by a car.
I really thought J. Anthony Brown would have been there with me.
We have to go, Butterfly. I'm so sorry.
Butterfly, I will not.
Speaking
and
of
all
Anthony,
you did was ask everybody was they coming, and all they said was no. That's your damn segment. Man,
we gotta go. J. Anthony Brown is up next. He's gonna murder another hit. We'll be back at 34 after.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is with another classic. Murdering the hits.
First of all,
J. Anthony Brown.
I'd like to say Tuesday night it's going down. Yours truly, J. Anthony Brown, the J spot. One and only. Thank Lunell for her thing. Dubsters, thank you. Steve, you might lose a friend on this song.
Okay.
We were doing good.
Yeah, you were doing good. You had a nice run.
Who?
We did.
Yeah. I don't know if you could call him now, if he's up, but what? If you know John Legend's personal number.
He's already on the list.
I didn't know. I didn't do anything wrong. It's just.
Why are you doing them twice? You already
murder the hits. That's what we do. Murder the hits.
Oh, God. Murder
on
friendship.
On the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Check it out.
Hey, stop saying what show you're on.
Yo, what's up there, my
hey,
brother?
Hey, man, what's happening, man?
Everything's good. Everything's good.
With you, man.
I'm glad you opening the club.
Well, yeah,
up.
You know, I had Lunell up there, and I'm up there on, this week. And then on Halloween night, I got Flame.
Ooh, that's going to be
It's going to be a nice Halloween party. Goodbye.
Oh, my jam. That's my jam.
Ralph, please.
Oh, come on.
Please
now.
Turn it down.
I can't listen to what I want in my car.
I mean, yeah, it's your car, but man.
Yo, man, what you got against John Legend?
I don't have nothing against John Legend. I'm just not into his music. Do me a favor. You know that I don't like the song. Not for a second. 'Cause even 1 second's too long. No, don't make me jump out this car. Don't give a damn if I get hurt. I can live with the scars. I get nauseous when he starts. I need earplugs, please, while I'm in the car. You know that I can't stand a Legend song. I need you to turn it down. Ralph, that's all I ask. Keep it way down till this song is over. We're not gonna fight about it. I want you to turn it down. You know that I can't stand a Legend song. I need you to turn it down. Ralph, that's all I ask. Keep it way down till this song is over. We're not gonna fight about it. I want you to turn it down. Turn it down, I can't take no more.
Turn it down, turn it down,
turn it down. Damn, man, turn it down.
That's it.
I'm playing John Legend in the right room all day.
Love me now.
I love you, John.
I do too.
You finna get
huge fan.
Turn it down.
I'm not turning it down.
Jay, it was a fire jam, but you know,
I mean, really though, Jay,
you got to pull up.
So you think light skin won't jump on you? That's what you think. That's your problem.
But I love how Jay is like really into it though. He's a musician
singer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I'm sure with the millions and millions John is making, he really don't give a damn.
Yeah. He sold out every night,
dog. And Jay ain't been there yet.
Your damn club right. just opened back up.
Yeah. Oh, the Jay spot.
Damn, well, he just did John Legend.
Man. Since when you start defending John Legend?
I love John.
I thought we was boys, huh? Yeah. He went yeah. hard, didn't he? Yeah. You just opened your club.
Yeah, John Legend.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. When you do bring your ass in there, it's going to be cold as hell.
Hey, you scared him a little bit.
I know.
Hey, I'm sorry, Jay. Hey,
no, you can't do that. Young
Jay, I'm sorry.
Because he ain't never been in one of the rice cold rooms. CJ, we from that old school comedy thing. We walk in the room where, well, why is it two blacks?
Oh, all right, I apologize.
Too many Negroes.
It was a great song, though, Jay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, man, I've been really on stage it. And heard, where's the white guy?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Wow.
Just screamed that.
That's crazy.
Well, I apologize, John Legend.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. That's what they call you, like.
Just stop it. All right, coming up next, Nephew Tommy's prank phone call.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after the hour, get ready for today's strawberry letter. But right now, it's the nephew's turn with the prank phone call. What you got, Neff?
Shirley, this right here is the ring.
The ring? The ring.
Yeah, you know, that engagement ring. The ring, okay. The wedding. It's the ring. Ain't it all about the ring? It's about the ring.
Ooh, it put is. A ring on it.
Hello?
Hello, I'm trying to reach a Denise, please.
Yes, this is she.
Hi, Denise. My name is Gavin. I'm actually the head jeweler here at Diamonds.
No, how you doing?
I'm good. You brought your ring in, what was it, last week? I actually wasn't here, but you gave it to one of my salespersons.
Yes.
And you wanted to get it resized as well as get it appraised, correct?
Yes, yes, yes. And you don't have to tell him I did that. I want to do the appraisal on my own.
Okay. Wow. Okay, listen. I actually did resize the ring. And, okay. And first of all, let me be the first to say congratulations. When is your wedding?
Thank you. I'm getting married in September.
Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank
listen,
you.
I don't know how to tell you this. Now, as far as the appraisal is concerned, I've looked at your ring over and over, and this ring is probably worth maybe $50.
Excuse me?
I've been in this business for over 20 years.
But you know what? I'm confused on what you just said.
And I understand that. What I'm trying to explain to you is that I've been in this business for over 20 years. I've seen so many different pieces of jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that you buy late night on an infomercial for $19.99. This is a cubic zirconian stone, and the gold is not real at all. It's like gold plated.
Wait, you lost me. You lost me. As much money as my man make and as much money as my father is putting down on his wedding or has put down? And you're going to sit
ma'am,
up here
I understand and everything you're saying, but Denise, honestly,
No. What I need you to do is hold on.
Wait.
No. I need you to hold on because we need to call Victor.
Wait, man. No. First of all, I can't. Wait.
No, sir.
Wait.
Hold on. Hold on.
Can you slow down for a second?
Because I need you to hold on because we're going to get you on the phone, okay?
Wait. What are you trying to do?
Sir, I need you to repeat to what you just said to me. Okay,
ma'am,
that's all
I
need you to do.
In the middle of personal stuff, ma'am.
You in it. It's personal now. So I need you to hold on, okay?
Oh, she calling her man. Okay, thank.
Hello?
Victor.
Hey,
I need you to listen to this jeweler that's on the phone. I want you to hear this that he just told me.
Wait, hold on. What's the problem?
What you mean, what's the problem? He's going to tell you what the problem is. Go on, head on, sir. Go on, head on.
Who's this?
Hello?
Yeah, who's this?
All right, my name is Gavin. I'm from Diamonds. And actually, your wife, your fiance, rather, she brought her ring in to actually be resized.
Yeah.
And we also did an appraisal on the ring for her. And actually, the ring is estimated to be only in the worth of around
$50.
Mm-hmm. $50.
That's what the man said. $50.
Hold on, Denise. Well, sir, obviously there's some sort of mistake, sir.
Now, what you got to say about that, Victor?
Hold on.
$50.
That's got to be some kind of mistake. So, what'd you say your name was, sir?
My name is Gavin. I work here at Diamonds. I'm the head jeweler here. I've been here for 20 years.
And there's no way that that ring is worth $50. I know what I paid for it, so obviously there's some sort of mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Sir, there's not a mistake. I've been dealing with jewelry. I've seen it. I can pretty much look at a ring, but I actually went into detail on this one, as I do all of them. And, sir, I promise you, this is probably maybe between $40 and $50 before it's worth it.
Absolutely not. That's impossible.
How is that impossible? He's the jeweler. You heard him say he's been doing it for 20 years. So how is that impossible? I don't understand that. Like, all the money that my daddy putting down on this wedding, and you're going to pay $50
for a
ring?
You bought a cheap ring, sir.
No, I did not buy a cheap ring. This is obviously some kind of mistake.
You sure got that right. So what you got to say for yourself? $50?
Dennis, you cannot believe that that's right. This is obviously some kind of mistake, sir.
It is a mistake. A mistake in me thinking I'm going to get married to the man of my dream.
I do have the engagement ring that was purchased and bought for your wife.
I don't think you have my ring, because if you have my ring, you wouldn't be telling me that it's worth $50.
Sir, I have the ring that your wife, that your fiance brought in.
Fiance? I ain't his wife yet.
Hold on. The man's trying to explain. I'm trying to get to the bottom.
Okay, excuse me. Thank you.
So you have, I don't think you have the right ring.
Sir, I have the right ring, and what I'm letting you know, sir, is that this is something you buy on an infomercial in 2 o'clock in the morning.
Infomercial. You going to tell me like that? I ain't buying no damn ring on infomercial. I bought the ring from a reputable establishment. I have the receipt. I have the certificate. So obviously the mistake is on your end.
The mistake is not here. Sir, you bought a piece of junk.
He's been doing it all these years. How the hell he gonna make a mistake?
You come off telling me I bought a piece of junk. I know what I bought. If there's any mistake that's been made, it's on your end.
Sir, it's not on my end.
You want things, Victor. My dad is paying too much money for this wedding. So you doggone pay $50 for a doggone ring.
Chill. Hold on. First of all, I don't appreciate
you.
Sir,
I want to tell you this. This is a typical case of you trying to pawn it off on us because
you
bought a piece of junk for $50.
Victor, all the money that you doggone make and I get $50 worth of a ring?
Denise, hold on. Let me talk to you. Where are you calling from?
Get to talking.
Diamonds, I ain't never heard of that. Where is it?
Mm-hmm.
Sir, your wife knows exactly where it is. She's the one that brought the ring in.
I tell you what, I'm going to come down there to see the ring that you're talking about. If it's not the ring that I gave my girl, I'm going to take $7,600 out of your because that's what I paid for the ring.
So now you want to jump on me because you bought your wife a piece of
come on now.
And you want to put it on me.
You don't tell me what the I know what the I spent on a ring, and I don't know what kind of you trying to pull. First of all, I don't appreciate you coming to my household trying to mess my and you want to come at me with this?
I know the ring better be real. Know that.
If I were you, Miss Denise, I would not marry somebody that's going to be.
I'm coming. I'm looking for your punk.
And you know what? You don't get the ring, it ain't right. Me and you going to go at it.
Can I say one more thing to both of you all?
I tell you what, if it ain't some that I want to hear, me and you going to have some more problems.
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Y'all just got pranked by Denise's sister.
That's why she ain't got no man today. Wow.
That's uncool, man.
Wow.
That's uncool, Tommy. You about to start some
Wow. Vic, I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I will make
man.
It up
you know,
to you, baby.
You don't
I am sorry.
You play with a black woman's ring?
I got to ask y'all something. What is the baddest radio show in the land?
Wow. The Steve Harvey Morning Show. Wow.
She was upset with her man, wasn't she?
Yeah,
you would be too. You play too much.
Whoa.
That's why you get both of them on the phone at the same time. Let them just
I like when their breathing changes.
Yeah.
All right, tell us about Mama's Boy.
I told you about Mama's Boy. It's starring me, co-star Johnny. Co-star Robin Givens. Co-star Jack A. Harrington. Shirley Murdoch. But I'm star. Then
Steve.
Everything co after me.
Steve Harvey.
I heard it.
Get your nephew, please.
No, I ain't got to get him.
He can get himself.
Yeah. But eventually he going to get himself because somebody going to show up that done seen something.
Yeah.
Shirley, how many times have you seen the play?
I haven't seen it yet, but I plan to go see it.
Whoa.
What?
Shirley, you ain't seen the play yet?
No, because it
Carly,
hasn't come
you ain't
west.
Seen the play either?
Is there
no.
really a place?
Hold up.
My girls, right?
Hold up, doggy. But Tommy, these your home girls.
It's a little more difficult.
Tommy, where you gonna be this weekend?
No. What? Why you gotta know you ain't going?
Have you gone to see your nephew?
Hell no, I ain't never been.
Memphis,
y'all
Tennessee.
Y'all wouldn't see Papa Ray Money. I don't go to none of it because I don't think none of it going to last. This one done fooled me.
You wasn't going to be able to see Papa Ray.
Yeah, this one done fooled me.
Memphis, Tennessee tonight,
this
baby's
been the
boy,
longest
and tomorrow.
Tour he ever been on.
At the Orpheum Theater. Get your tickets tonight and tomorrow. Two shows tomorrow and then Sunday, Montgomery Performing Arts Center. We are in the Gump on Sunday, baby. Two shows in the Gump, Montgomery Performing Arts Center. That's 3 o'clock and 7:30.
Man. Yeah, man.
Yeah. This is going like really, really well.
Thank you, sir.
Really, really well.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Before we get to today's crazy strawberry letter, and this letter
Wait
is
a minute.
Really.
When you
what?
Coming to the play?
Oh, yeah. Jill, you know what? I was, you know, that really is a big question. Because, you know, for y'all
is he talking
to have
you,
used
Steve?
My
he
nephew.
To?
For the things y'all have used him for.
Who was your
3 million? You and Carla. You who is who? You.
That was, Carla both, asked you.
No, but yes, y'all always using my nephew. He's generous with y'all. He feeds you, drinks, take your places.
If we go out to dinner with Tommy, who else is supposed to pay?
You think we're going to look for money
oh,
out?
Man. Damn. Damn. That's going? That hurt that time. Oh, man.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, that, you're stating the obvious. Yeah. I mean, really. Oh,
yeah, let's move past this.
No. We ain't moving. Go ahead, Tommy. What's your question?
When is you coming to the play?
Boom.
Oh. Ooh.
Boom. Boom.
Who you talking to?
I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
You, Mom.
Boy, you know, good and hell well, I'm not coming to no play. I don't know what the surprise is here. And I don't know why you want to bring this up in front of everybody. I'm not coming to your play because I don't know how long they're going to ever last. I'm tired of going down to stuff to get canceled. This the first tour you done been on where it ain't canceled. So I'm scared for you.
Yeah,
that's wrong.
Mississippi Monica was supposed to come to Jackson to see the play, but didn't come but still wanted 15 tickets.
Don't they do you like that? They always,
And you're giving me tickets this weekend for my family to go to see you in Memphis. What's your point?
And his check going to look real funny. That's what his point is.
Exactly.
Don't look funny.
And don't come to Houston. You probably have to save a whole row for me.
He's working for free.
He's working for free.
All them tickets he going to give up, Shirley. They going to have to charge. He working for free.
He probably won't even be in the play in Houston. He got to say.
But we hear you. We hear you real good.
Tommy, because he don't want to get all them tickets in Houston.
Oh, yeah. Man, he got to get famous somewhere.
We hear you real good in the play, though. You know, you get a lot of applause and everything more than Johnny Gill. We heard all of that.
But you know what?
That ain't what Johnny said.
The side piece section alone in Houston's going to kill him.
Wow.
Yeah, you will have a tough time spreading them out.
What are you talking about?
Well, we just got to Houston.
Don't sit there. Take it down further. Yep. No, not you. Sit over there. And you go in the back. Yes. Yeah, and you, up front. Yes. Wow. Okay, everybody spread out.
We just got to Houston.
We made eye contact.
Man, it's funny.
All right, it's that time. Let's go. Buckle up. Hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is, the strawberry letter. It's that time. Buckle up and hold on tight. Strawberry letter 23.
Thank you, Tommy. Subject, outside adult advice. Hello, everyone. My mother, 49 in parentheses, and father, 50, have been together for 21 years and married for 18. And for 13 of those years, my father has been cheating on my mother. The reason I know this is because ever since I was little, when they got into arguments, which is often, he proudly throws the fact that he has a couple of women on the side in her face and sometimes calls his mother and tells her how stupid my mom is for staying with him when she knows he is cheating on her. Now, recently, my dad decided that he was going to change his ways and go back to church. I do commend him for this, but my mom has told me that she feels like it's too little, too late. After all the verbal, mental, and once or twice physical abuse, she feels like she should move on. She feels that she is too old to deal with this, and his temper and hygiene are getting worse as he ages. So basically, I think my mom should do what makes her happy, but I know that God frowns upon divorce and a child should stay in his or her place. More importantly, my mom faithfully listens to this show, and maybe you all can provide some outside adult advice. Wow. Well, dear daughter, first of all, I got to say that you sound like a very loving daughter who wants her mother to be happy. And yes, the Bible and some religions, you know, they frown on divorce, you know, although there are divorces in the Bible. But the Bible also speaks of being equally yoked, husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible, you know, on this particular subject. But this is what I do know. I know that the Lord wants his children to be loved and treated well. He wants them respected and not humiliated. And if your mother, you know, has been that for all her years of marriage or for at least 13 of the 21 years of marriage, then maybe it is time for mom for you to move on and, you know, not be subjected to this kind of treatment. I mean, this is humiliation. This is wrong treatment. Your husband is out of order doing this to you. I'm not in this situation, but based on what your daughter says, yes, this is wrong. You should not be treated this way. And it probably is a little too late, too little, too late. So, you know, do what you have to do. This is your decision. And, you know, if it's right in your heart, the Lord will forgive you if you ask him, you know, and that's basically what I have to tell you. You know, I mean, this is wrong. He's humiliating you, you know, calling his mom. He's cheating, throwing it in your face. You know, you don't have to deal with this. You don't have to put up with this. Steve?
First of all, the girl that wrote the letter, I didn't
get her age.
Yeah, I didn't get her age, but she's obviously old enough to write intelligently, I'll say, and want some outside adult advice. Mm. So she's been raised properly. She's a good kid that wrote this letter, a good daughter anyway. The mother's 49, the father's 50. This girl has overheard some crazy conversation. First of all, this man, I don't know any man who argues like this. I really don't. You get into an argument and then you proudly throw in the fact that he has a couple of women on the side and you telling this to your wife. Wow. I cannot tell you how that conversation is really supposed to go. But I don't know many women where you can throw this in her face more than one time. Mm-hmm. Not that blatant of a statement. I got a couple women on the side. That's some doggish behavior right there. That's how men get the title of dogs. Now, that right there is some doggish behavior.
Right.
Because now you just going to do dirt, and then you going to smear the mud and the crap in her face. Come on, man. That's a bit much. Then sometimes you would call the girl's mother and tell her how stupid she was for staying with him. Wow. Who is this guy? What guy argues like this? Your mom has had some low self-esteem, but it looks like your mom is getting it together. But it's coincidental that she's getting it together at the same time when dad is trying to get it together. See, now your dad decided that he was going to change his ways and go back to church. I do commend him for this, and I do too. But guess what? Your mama feels like it's a little too late. Guess what? Your mama is feeling exactly what she's supposed to feel. Mm-hmm. And it's a natural reaction for her to feel like it's a little bit too late. Your mother's 49. She's not over the hill and done. When we come back, let's discuss the hygiene part.
Yes. Part two of Steve's response coming up at 23 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, people, season two of Bad Acting Theater with the Chapmans coming up. And also don't forget at the top of the hour, our good friend and family member Tyler Perry stops by, or he calls. Yeah, he's going to call.
Are you with me?
But come on, Steve, part two of your response to today's Strawberry Letter. Let's go.
Just about this woman who's been married to this man for 21 years, and she's 49, he's 50. He's been cheating on her. The girl, the daughter wrote the letter, wants to know if we could just give her mom some advice. And he's been throwing in his face that he got a couple of women on the side, and sometimes he would tell the lady that how stupid she is for staying with him. And when she knows that he's cheating on her. Now, recently, her dad decided that he's going to change his ways and go back to church. Now, the little girl commends him for this, but her mom told me that she feels like it's too little, too late. After all the verbal, mental, and once or twice physical abuse, she feels like she ought to move on. She feels that she's too old to deal with this. And his temper and hygiene is getting worse as he ages.
Whew, right there.
Nah, that line right there made me start to think.
Here we go.
His temper and hygiene is getting worse as he ages. See, men always do things for reasons. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking maybe this, the fact that his temper and his hygiene got worse as he ages, maybe that's what pushed him back into church. Because, see, he been crawling his little nasty, stanky, trifling, evil ass up in these other women's bed. Now, they done got tired of it. Don't come over here no more unless you can wash. Listen to me. Hold on. Wait. I'm tired of you crawling to me, smelling like every bit of a skunk.
Unless you can wash.
How is your butt ashy? Your whole butt is ashy. Now, you going to climb on top of me. Let me tell you something. Don't come over here no more. So now he done got a couple of them women that done finally, as he done aged, his temper, now he mad. What the hell you mean? Don't come over here no more. You heard me? What you gonna do? You gonna be nasty and act nasty. Don't come over here no more. Now guess what? Now he back at the church now. Because see, the Lord will take you nasty, ashy, and skunk stanky. Now he back at church. But guess what? Your mama don't deserve this.
That's
and sometimes
right.
You got to pay for your actions. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just time for Pop to pay. That's all. Pop, you can't, just because you want to straighten it up don't mean it's going to get right. You cannot do women wrong and expect them just because you're ready to change, not them to change too. Well, guess what? While you was cheating on them and whipping on them, they changed too.
Clowning her.
Tell your mama that it's perfectly fine for her to go head on. The church might frown on divorce, but hell, let the church sleep with him. If they want to be accepting of the man, let the church take him in. Mm-hmm. Your mama don't have to keep taking it. Nope. Tell your mama go and find herself some happiness, you know, and don't
Amen.
Even worry about it with his big stanky self.
All right, Steve, you know we got to go. Email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley. And thank you so much for joining me yesterday and every Thursday. Don't forget for the after show, Strawberry Letter Live. I appreciate you guys very much. All right, switching gears now. Now, Carla, I know we talked about this. Did you see the main event on BET with Gucci Mane and his fiancée, Keisha Keor?
Yes, I did see the wedding.
That was
I
a wedding.
Saw
yeah.
that.
That
yes,
was a
yes,
wedding.
Yes,
I
yes,
saw
yes.
that. They got married this past Tuesday evening at the Four Seasons in Miami. Keisha Keor walked down the aisle on it was an elevated platform. Her dress was beautiful. It was blinged out. Now, according to People magazine, this is a who's who of hip-hop and Atlanta's social scene gathered for the ceremony. I mean, everyone was there.
I saw Monica, Big Sean. Yes. Let's see. They said Diddy was there.
Yeah, Diddy was there. So many, many people. Mm-hmm. It was, I mean, everybody.
Suge Knight wasn't there.
No, he was. Well, no, he wasn't there.
Michael
was
Jordan
busy.
Wasn't there.
OJ wasn't there.
And he's out.
Yeah, okay. Obama's wasn't there. Everybody was there.
Well, everybody on the hip-hop scene.
Yeah,
Steve,
you wasn't
I
there.
Did make that.
Steve wasn't there.
I said hip-hop.
Thought about asking my
hip-hop. Yeah, Atlanta's hip-hop.
Did I not
hip-hop?
Say who's who in Atlanta's hip-hop? Yes, I did.
They didn't even think about asking my old ass.
Tyler Perry wasn't there. Madea wasn't there.
Guess how much this wedding cost, though?
How much? At least $2-3 million.
Okay, very close. A little over, though, Jay. $1.7 million.
Wow.
$1.7 million.
Yeah.
Couple threw a lavish rehearsal dinner ahead of their nuptials. And Gucci Mane, whose real name, of course, is Roderick Delantic Davis, got him and his bride a pair of matching Rolls-Royce Wraiths. Woo!
Wow.
Ballin'.
Yeah, it's nothing less.
I bet you that minister didn't say his real name.
No,
yes, he did.
Gucci Mane, you want to take this woman?
He had to say it, right?
He said it.
Yeah,
he had to say it legally.
Legally, yeah.
It's not going to last.
Why do you say that?
That's what I do.
Don't be bitter, Jay.
I don't see happiness. I just don't.
They ride or die, though, Jay. Gucci Mane and Keith.
Yeah, they really do.
I don't know
really
anything
do.
About them. I wish them the best.
Well, you could check them out on the main event on BET.
Well, that's the first time I've ever seen a wedding that looked serious. You know.
that even sounded serious.
Mm-hmm. What you mean?
You know, all the rest of them don't sound serious.
Pretty bride, I tell you that.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. She's gorgeous.
And her, pretty bride.
She's beautiful. Her body. Yeah. Oh my pictures. God. I don't know. Her body is.
Bang it.
It's otherworldly. It's otherworldly.
It is, man.
Her body is sick.
Yeah, it is.
Tommy, send some photos.
I will. I have all those in my phone.
See, that's all I got to do.
What did you say, married man?
He got him hidden in his phone.
So check it out. The main event, 10-part miniseries premiering on BET. You don't want to miss it.
Let me tell you something. If I look at something that I'm not supposed to look at, if somebody send me something, one of my dudes, as soon as I look at it, it's deleted.
It don't even stay in your phone that long.
Man, for what?
Well, can you teach your nephew that?
Man, I don't need that in my life.
Can you teach your nephew that?
Can't nobody get in this phone? Huh? Can't nobody get in here without my thumb?
Well, I
you
was
gotta
just,
have my thumb.
I was asking you, can you teach your nephew
you
that?
You got to have his thumb in order to get in his phone. No. I don't know how you going to do that.
All right, we got to get out of here because...
See, everybody can get in my phone.
Coming up, season 2 of Bad Acting Theater, The Chapmans.
Hey, Tyler Perry here coming up on the Steve Harvey Morning Show. I'm going to talk about my new movie, Boot 2, and make some fun of Tommy.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, you don't want to miss the one and only Tyler Perry.
Yeah, yeah.
He's coming up. But right now, it's time for one of our favorites, season 2 of the Bad Acting
season
Theater,
two,
the Chapman. Yeah.
We got out of back order.
Hit it, Cat.
We got picked up, boy.
We got picked up.
Welcome to another episode of Steve Harvey's Bad Acting Theater, starring the cast of the Steve Harvey Morning Show, hosted and narrated by me, Shirley Strawberry, starring Steve Harvey, who plays Earl Chapman. You know Steve Harvey, star of the Thunderdome, Family Feud, Little Big Shot, Showtime at the Apollo, and Steve Harvey's newest show, Steve. All right, if you missed the reunion show last week, well, good for you. Here's how it ended. I gotta say, your acting is pretty darn horrible.
I think this whole damn thing is bad. The writing is bad. The sound effects is always late. Y'all don't study your lines. I'm thinking about taking my name off this whole damn thing. Can we just call it bad acting?
What you mean the acting bad?
Well, you know what, Jay? Well, it's stupid.
Well, shut up, Junior.
Shut up, Junior.
Why? I got to shut up. Well, I've been getting told to shut up for 10 weeks.
I'm so disgusted with this that I don't know if I want to write another episode.
Wow. All right, well, paging mess, paging Dr. Hot Mess. But that was last season. So here we are with the first show of season 1. I mean, season 2 of Bad Acting. Already, I'm starting off on the wrong foot. It's been 1 week since we found out what's happening in Arrogant, Texas. But let's pick it up with KK, who is still on the run from the Popo and who was being haunted by Beauregard's ghost.
Ooh, the freaks come out at night. Ooh, KK, ooh.
Why are you bothering me?
But because I know what you did, and you need to apologize and turn yourself in to the police. Ooh.
I'm not doing a damn thing. Don't make me kill you again.
Whatever. You can't kill me because I'm a ghost. I need you to apologize to me and then go to apologize to Earl.
I'm sorry I killed you, and I'm sorry for trying to kill Earl. Now leave me alone.
That's what I wanted to hear. I'm wearing a wire. I recorded the whole damn thing, and I'm going to the police.
Oh, my goodness. The ghost is wearing a wire? I guess we didn't see that one coming. All right, now, let's see what Touch It is up to.
Touch It?
Touch what?
Touch what?
He's interrogating Junior about the whereabouts of KK.
What do you know about Earl Chapman getting shot in the butt with a bow and arrow and a blow dart?
I don't know nothing about it, and I don't like you insinuating that I may have had something to do with it.
Shut up, Junior. We got reports that you were in the vicinity of the convention when Earl Chapman was shot in the butt with a bow and arrow and a blow dart. You mind if I come in here and look around? I'm gonna look around and dust this place for prints.
It's dusty enough. Thank you very much.
Afterwards, I'm going to need you and get your hat and come on down to the station and make a statement.
I don't wear hats. Thank you very much.
Cap?
Nope.
Beanie?
Nope.
All right, all right. Let's pick it back up at the hospital where Earl's butt is facing the heavens after being shot in the behind with a blow dart and a bow and arrow.
Dad, I don't know who could have done this to you, but I'll help you figure it out.
Well, while I'm in the hospital, I'm gonna need you to ask around.
Whoa, whoa, we're not doing this again, okay? Let's just move along with the episode, please.
Dad, I know this is not a good time to tell you. First of all, I want to thank you for everything you've done for me, but the lifestyle you chose for me is not the way I want to live my life.
What?
This is the hardest thing I ever had to say to you. And looking at you, your behind all bandaged up is... It's not making it easy. Now that you're laid up like this, this is a great opportunity for me to speak to you face to butt. I know that you built a big pork rind dynasty for me to take over. I want to thank my friend Ramon for giving me the courage to say what I have to say.
You know what? You know what? Hold up. Let me stop. I can't do it. I can't do this no more.
Can't do
this
it. Is it.
No, this is me talking. I can't do this no more.
You don't want to do it no more?
Now, this is horrible, man. This whole thing sucks. Now, I ain't joking either, man. I mean, this whole bad acting thing, all this don't make no damn sense. I know I said it last week. I don't really think I can do not a whole season two of this, man. Y'all could do this without me.
If you're not doing it, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
Say, my part is never really that big anyway, so.
Shut up, Junior. Well, Steve, I mean, if you're not going to do it, I won't either, I guess.
If you ain't going to do it.
Then. Well, he said it last week. I didn't believe him. But
I didn't think you
man.
Well, Jake, keep writing it. I do everybody part. You know, I'm in Mama's Boy. We're going to be in Memphis tonight at the Orpheum. You do not want to miss it. And tomorrow in Memphis, 3 o'clock and 8 o'clock.
See, that's what I'm talking about. This dude, everything is stupid about this. Why did I even get shot in the butt? Why didn't you have butterfly get shot in the ass?
Excuse me? Stop, because I'm not even in the show. So don't even say that.
I'm supposed to believe that there's a ghost. Jay only wrote himself back in so he could have something to say. He was already dead, dog.
Boy, you're really pulling back the curtain.
Man.
Well, let's see if there is a next week. If you like Bad Acting Theater or if you think it's really bad and still want to hear it, leave us a message at steveharvey.com and jayanthonybrown.com. We out.
Write Steve off and write me in.
Don't nobody want you in.
They would love for me to be on.
Ain't nobody asked you to be in. That makes it worse.
You really don't want to do it?
But Steve, seriously, though?
Especially if you write butterfly.
Are you for real, though?
You don't want to do it no more, Steve.
You can't do it, we ain't.
You broke character and everything.
Yeah, man.
You came on.
You didn't even find out what
Chester was going to say to you.
Right.
Well, maybe I'll stick around for that.
Okay. All right.
What the hell Chester going to say with this guy?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, y'all, our special guest does it all. I told you, he's a living legend right now. He really is. He writes, he directs, stars in plays. He got television shows written, movie, blockbuster movies, created and performed his hugely popular Madea character. And Madea is a complete and utter mess.
She is.
Yes, she is the star of Tyler Perry's Boo 2.
Yes.
A Madea Halloween, and it's in theaters right now. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only family, Tyler Perry.
Tyler!
Can you believe it? Here we go again. Can you believe it?
Man, boy.
We wanted more when we saw Boo 1, Tyler.
Let me tell you what happened. This one, Joe cuts loose, man. Joe.
Really?
I let it go.
What is he doing?
No. When we sent it in for the rating, it came back rated R. I had to dial him back. He's out of control. That's still in the movie, man.
I love Uncle Joe. Yeah. I love him.
And you know how to make a movie, Tyler Perry. Yeah. You know how to make a movie. Keep us entertained. You really, really do.
Thank you. And we need it right now, don't we, with all that's going on?
Yes.
In the
what?
Country. Oh, man.
We need to laugh like never before, man, because this, that White House, Lord have mercy.
Every day is something.
Every day. I want to ask you, man, just give us a break. You're wearing us out. Just give us 2 days and no tweet. Just something.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
We at the part where we need to take the keys from Grandpa.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do.
That's all right.
Yeah, we need to take the keys from Grandpa. Yeah.
Y'all know he's slipping. Go get them keys.
You know, man, that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
He just took like a week off.
Mm-hmm.
Just give the country a break, please. Yeah. Just shut up for a week.
Yeah, we need a break.
Go
we
play
need a
golf.
Break.
Yeah, man, do something.
I'll be
take
okay
a week.
With that.
I just need a week because it has been nonstop for the last year and a half of negativity since he was running to where he is now. And it's just like, okay, all right. That's why I'm going to see Boo myself.
Hey, now, Tyler, I saw it. We've been looking at these trailers.
Okay, no cussing, please. Tyler, just cuss.
Tyler, just cuss.
Yes, you did.
You set up with it.
It's that Trump. You better get your beeper ready. Because I'm getting ready to FCC all of this.
Yeah.
Once again, he has fine money. I keep telling y'all, it's a certain piece of freedom come with this type of paper. Yeah, I said it. My bad.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Checks in the mail.
Get your paper
ready. That's right.
Hey, man, we've been looking at these trailers, man, for the movie. The movie looks scary, but you so ignorant in it, man. I'm confused. Now, you mentioned Uncle Joe.
Yeah.
But is Madea turned all the way up in this movie?
Madea turns all the way up, but I'm telling you, Joe is killing her, man. Joe won't let her go, man. When she gets out of the car to handle one of the ghosts, she gets out of the car. Joe goes, he started the car. He get ready to leave. They go, you gonna leave your sister? He's like, I don't like that dude.
That dude. Yeah, dude. He called her a dude.
So he's cutting loose, man. And then he says, they're sitting down, and she's like, she says, Joe, close your leg. Joe say, you can't close your leg.
Tyler?
Oh, Tyler. My God.
Oh,
let
my
him go.
God.
It's off the hook.
Hey, Tyler, what was the shoot schedule? How long did it take you to make this movie?
Five long days, man.
See what I'm
saying? Five long days.
That's
five
it?
Days.
He can make
it. Yeah, the
it
last
done.
One was 5 days, too. And the one I got coming out with Taraji, it's incredible. We did it in 8 days. It's incredible.
Wow. Yeah. You changed the game on making movies, man.
Man. I got a good team. We pull it together. We getting all our coverage. We're doing a lot all at once. So I figured out a whole new way to do it. And you know, they don't want that in Hollywood because everybody trying to justify their jobs.
Yeah. They
want
to waste money. You're right.
Yep.
They want to waste money.
And time.
Well, Tyler, I have to ask you something. This has nothing to do with the movie right now, but I have to ask you this. I have to ask you this, Tyler. Yeah, you know I love you. But you know Tommy's in this play, Mama's Boy. It's touring Charlie. Right now. I just want to know, because he told us you were there one night, and none of us believed
him. Is he lying or is he telling the truth?
Is it the truth?
I was not lying.
Let him
He lied.
I knew
thank
it.
You. I knew it.
Thank you.
It.
Thank you.
No, 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 no. I was there. I went.
Oh, you
I
did? Went.
No, no, no.
Yeah. No, we're going with your first answer, man.
Boy, Tyler, you'd have crushed him if you'd have stayed over there.
No, stay over there, Tyler.
No.
All my folks were in that show. Shirley Murdock was in my first place. She's in the show.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy killed it. You know, I worked with Robin Givens. Johnny Gill's a friend of mine. All of my folks are there, man. So, yeah, I went out to support. And Janet went, too.
He told us that.
We
didn't
lie so much.
Not only did she go, but she was saying how much she enjoyed him.
That's what he said. He told us all of this, Tyler.
But
what?
Ain't no picture, though, Tyler.
He ain't lying this time. He ain't lying this time.
Ain't no picture.
Wow, but he didn't Tommy. Take a picture with Janet. Tommy.
Well, I didn't want to take a picture. I felt like I was gonna be a groupie if I asked for a picture.
You know how they think they are when they think they got it. They be like, Nah, I ain't gonna take no picture. You want a picture with me? I ain't even that. You just Janet. I'm empty time. I ain't take no picture with you, girl.
Okay, one more thing, Tyler, and then we'll get back to the movie. Tommy said that when he walked out on stage, he got as much applause or more than Johnny Gill.
Quiet.
Crickets.
Let's go back to talking about Boo.
I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, but he's pushing it now. Come on, man. How you going to come up against my?
What he said.
That's exactly what we said. All right. He put it. Okay. Half of it was true, and then the other half wasn't. All right, Tyler, thank you for clearing all that up now.
We will be
I'm so glad that I was able to help in this very important subject around there.
Hey, man, let me ask you this before you get out of here, Tyler.
Yep.
What is the number one thing that people should get out of this move? Hey, y'all, sit tight. We're going to ask Tyler the all-important question when we come back. And it has nothing to do with Tommy. It has to do with the movie. We'll
Boo,
be right back.
Boo too.
Boo too, baby.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, y'all, we back. We back with our special guest family member, Tyler Perry. The movie Boo 2 is in theaters now, everybody.
Yeah.
It's in theaters now. It's Boo 2, a Madea Halloween in the movie. Madea, Aunt Bam, Hattie, and Ville running for their lives. Monsters, goblins, and the boogeyman. Yes. And who is really turned up in this movie is that damn Uncle Joe.
Uncle Joe.
Hook. Off the hook.
Mm-hmm. I got to go see it.
You got
to see it. Yeah, man. I just want everybody to go out and get out and go see it. Because I'm telling you, it's a good laugh. It's 102 minutes of just laughing, just nonstop laughing. And with everything that's going on in the country, just go laugh. Don't go in there being too serious. And I just want to say to all of my critics and all of the Academy voters and all of the people who vote for Oscars and all that stuff, you ain't finna like this damn movie. You ain't finna like it.
It's not for them.
It ain't for you.
It's not for them, Tyler.
It is for people who just want to go out and have a good time. That's right.
There you go. Oh, you know what, man?
For us and your fans.
You know what? That's amazing that you've come to that point. You've always been there. But then after the critics and the criticism.
Stop trying to please people.
You just went, wow.
Uh-huh. That's
the
great.
People I really need to please are the ones who are the fans who
That's
need
right.
a laugh and who going to buy these tickets.
That's right. By the millions, man. Listen, if you look at the have and have nots, like even if Love Me is wrong, there are like 2.5 million people watching that show. 3.5 million people watching the have and have nots. And, you know, never got any recognition for anything. Ain't got a damn NAACP nomination.
What?
But people love it for what it is. And when we start trying to please everybody else and walk away from who we are and what we like and try to bend our stuff to make sure that everybody else like it, to hell with that,
thank
man. You go somewhere with that.
That's
man.
Right.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
I love the fact that you do you and you believe in yourself. Yeah. And you know who your base is.
And I've done all right. I've done all right.
This dude right here gets it.
I'll say.
He said he done all right.
Yeah.
He did pretty good. Yeah.
Way past all right, y'all.
Yeah.
Pick up the trades and do some reading.
Yeah.
It's way past all right.
Man.
I can't wait to see it. I really can't. I love
it's in theaters right now, guys. Go out and see it. Go see Boo 2. You're going to have a good time. I'm just wondering why Tom is so quiet.
I just like watching you work. I like it because I like
characters. You wasn't even paying attention. What were you on, Twitter, Instagram, something?
Come on, Tyler. Come on, T.
You supposed to be helping me promote this movie. Didn't I come see your play? What you saying?
Oh, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you get out and see Boo starring the one and only Tyler Perry. You do not want to miss it. I am a huge fan. Can't wait to work with you again, so please don't be mad at me.
That's right, because you get more applause than Johnny Gill.
Man.
Oh, it's starting to turn.
Man,
here
you go.
It's starting to turn. Tommy, this is what's called networking.
Yes, sir.
See, I'm actually texting him a text right now.
Uh-oh. What's your text?
What does it say?
Tyler, what does it say?
Oh, no. Hell no.
I can't say this on the radio. Nope, can't say that on the radio. Okay.
Can't say that on the radio.
Tyler, you know we love you. We love your work. We support everything you do. I mean, you know, we just love you. We do.
Thank you.
Go get it, man.
Yeah, all the time. Anytime you want to promote something, come right here. This is your family. This is your home. Boo 2, a Madea
Opening
Halloween.
Opening week, 75 million, baby. I called it.
I already called it.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. 92 total.
Yeah.
I already called it.
All day long.
I take it all day long.
Ladies and gentlemen, Boo
God bless
too.
Y'all, man. Thank you.
Madea Holloway.
We love you, man.
Is, ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Perry, get to the theaters today. Woo-hoo! TP! Mr. Perry!
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
President Trump denies offending fallen soldiers' families. The White House says President Trump was completely respectful in a phone call to one of the grieving military widows. According to the Washington Post, one of the fallen soldiers, Sergeant LaDavid Johnson's mother, said yes, President Trump did disrespect her son during that call. Kawanda Jones Johnson went on to say that President Trump sarcastically told her son's widow that he must have known what he signed up for, not to mention that the president never even referred to her son by name, and that is something that reportedly stuck out to his widow, Myesha. She was crying the whole time, Jones Johnson recounts, and when she hung up the phone, she looked at me and said, he didn't even remember his name. That's the hurting part. Of course, Trump has denied it, and he said he has proof. And we on this show just want to say, to all of the fallen soldiers, offer our condolences to all of the Gold Star families for your loved one's service, for their bravery and for their courage. Thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you.
And definitely our sympathies and condolences to the families and the children. I mean, and we still don't know what happened over there in Niger.
And the president, you know, he's under scrutiny because he started this, politicizing the death of these fallen soldiers. Mm-hmm. He started it by talking about
President Obama and his predecessors.
Right, and his predecessors. And now he's upset that he's under scrutiny.
Always put Obama's name in something.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just hates Obama.
Well, he has a misunderstanding about a principle of success. He thinks that by making him appear less, it appears to make him to be more. And that never works out for you in the long run. But in The Art of a Deal, see, when you read his book, The Art of a Deal, that's one of the tactics that they use. You have to, in some way, show your superiority to competitive companies and things like that. Well, he's taken that into the presidency.
Wow.
And so that's why he still talks about crooked Hillary, what Hillary did, the mistakes she made, what Obama did, what the mistakes he made, because it's to say, even when he makes a mistake, you should be okay with this because look what they did, which no one gives a damn about that, man, because you're the president now.
Right.
And it's time for you to build your own legacy. And destroying other people's legacies while you're not building a legacy is nothing. See, you want to destroy, repeal, and replace Obamacare, but you want to do it by starting to killing subsidies to low-income people?
That will help people, right?
Are you kidding me? So you start there?
He's not a leader. He's just not a leader. He's not a leader.
Well, he's not the great leader that we're used to having and want to have because he's never been a great servant. People who have never served don't make good leaders. Sorry.
All right, coming up, we'll close out the show with just one more thing, our last break of the day, and we'll have a very special guest, the one and only comedian Rodney Perry.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we go with our last break of the day with just one more thing. We're going to talk to comedian and actor Rodney Perry. Steve, take it away. Introduce him.
Ladies and gentlemen, as promised, we got a special guest joining us now. Is one of the great stand-up comedians and actors. He's starring in the new BET movie, Digital Lives Matter, hashtag Digital Lives Matter. That's going to premiere tomorrow, October 21st at 8 p.m. Eastern. Let's find out about this new project. Please welcome our buddy, my man, Rodney Perry.
Rodney of the Perry.
Rodney.
What's up, Rodney?
Rodney.
What's up, man?
First of all, what's up, man? How y'all doing?
Man, we doing good, man.
This championship team here, Rodney.
Man, y'all running, boy. Y'all done went and got Kevin Durant, Aiden Smith, and Brown. So y'all can't be beat now.
Tell us about the project, man.
Hey, it's called Digital Lives Matter. It's a great movie. It's starring the young kid, DC Young Fly.
Oh, yeah.
Directed it, and her company produced it. I got a chance to come in there, man, and really rock it out and play the dad. I'm the new dad. I'm about to start saying bang, bang, bang.
Go ahead. And coordinate.
What is it about, Rodney?
Well, it's about social media. I mean, it's kind of a movie for the millennials. It's a lot of these young kids out there. And DC Youngfly, he basically plays himself. He's got like 3 million followers.
Yes,
and
he
wakes up one day and all his followers are gone. And so he has to figure out how to really connect with people on a real level. And so it's kind of current in that respect. Mm-hmm. And it's the type of movie, man. It's funny. It's one of those new classics. I'm glad it's going to be on BET where a lot of people are going to get a chance to see it.
Now, our girl, Terry J. Vaughn, directed this movie. This is her directorial debut. What was it like working with Terry, and how was she as a director? I would love to hear about that.
She mean as hell. I'm just saying.
Terry, not our Terry.
Terry will punch us when we walk on the set. Pow! Every day. No, you know Terry's a sweetheart.
Yes.
And she directs that way with a kind heart, and she takes you along the way, and she's just talented, and she knows her stuff. Like, she got some crazy dope shots in this movie, man, and I was just impressed to be around her, man. She's an awesome talent.
Oh, okay. Yeah, congratulations to Terry, our girl. Mm-hmm. Steve, you should be very proud of her. She played Lavita Alizé Jenkins on the Harvey Morning Show.
Hell yeah, that's my girl, her and Wendy. They always doing something good. I'm trying to find a project for the both of them right now.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Bring them back.
Yeah.
I'll bring Sid back with him, too.
Yeah, a lot of shows are rebooting now.
If Sid doesn't want to do it, you know, I got a little chubby black dude that'll come in there.
What you say, Rodney? If Sid don't want to do it.
If Sid don't want it, I ain't going to try to take a man's job, but if he don't want it.
Hey, Rodney, let me ask you this. You sound really good. You sound like yourself. How are you doing health-wise?
Yeah. Yes.
Rodney Perry, for anybody that don't know, I had a stroke 1 year ago, almost to the day. Like, this time last year, I was learning how to walk again. So, you know, the short answer, Shirley, is that, man, God is awesome. And he took a guy like Rodney Perry. He let me walk over to the edge and look over, and he let me come back. And, I mean, I'm blessed. I was dealing with high blood pressure. My blood pressure was 221 over 140 when I went in the hospital. And so I changed my life. I changed my eating habits. I changed my diet.
My blood pressure is not that high. No.
What's wrong with you?
After you drink some tea, it is.
I have died.
Hold on, Rodney. We got some couple sick people.
Yeah. Pre-existing conditions on this show.
I'm a diabetic, and diabetics are known to have high blood pressure. But I changed my diet. I stopped eating meat, so that made a big difference for me.
And Junior has sickle cell.
You know chicken and steak is still meat.
No,
though,
chicken,
right?
I'm telling you, Rodney, no joke. I want some chicken so bad. Right now. And when I go back in on chicken, it's going to be sad.
You go back in,
I might eat a live one.
No, you know what?
He's stupid.
What you doing, man? Trying to spit these feathers out.
Wow. Well, it's good news, Rodney. I'm glad to hear that you're back.
Glad to be heard, man. Y'all sound great as usual. The movie Digital Lives Matter rock this weekend on BET Saturday. It's going to be crazy, 8 o'clock.
So, Rodney, let me ask you, man, how would you, on a percentage-wise, how would you describe your recovery?
And that's a great question, Steve. I'm at like 97%.
Oh, you could get back in the choir. I don't like when they have strokes and they come back too early.
No,
it's hard to get back in the choir because you throw the sway off. So you can't go all the way over to that left side. I'm just checking.
I was off for a couple months, I'll be honest. But I got my sway back. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you recover. First of all, you have a lot of fatigue, post-stroke, and stuff like that. So I'm doing great, man. To look at me, you can't tell I had a stroke.
My man. Come on, Rodney.
That's why I say 98%, man. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Rodney, that's that God you serve.
Yes, right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's what that is.
Yes, sir. And I'm back on stage telling these jokes. I got 20 minutes of good hot stroke material.
I love it.
I'm glad to know you're back because if you hadn't come back, I was going to use all that stuff.
Wait a minute.
I was going to take all that.
You're
a
comedian.
Yeah, man, your joke was gone.
It was gone.
That's my club, Rodney. That's why I'm closing the show.
Digital Lives Matter. It will premiere tomorrow, October 21st at 8 p.m. Eastern on BET, starring Rodney Perry. Thank you, Rodney. We love you.
Y'all be good.
Later, man.
Hey, y'all. It's that time. Folks, have yourself an absolutely wonderful weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, baby.
It's Friday, finally, baby. It's here.
Turn your volume up if you're with me. I'm listening to E.A.R.B. Land in the mall.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.